Since ESG impact is now a mainstream concern for all organizations, corporations are now expected to take into consideration their operations, how they affect the planet, their workers, and their local communities. ESG agenda dialogues closely with the essence of cooperatives, which holds a crucial bastion for social development and sustainability across the globe. In this sprint, we will explore the main factors that are shaping the ESG agenda and will showcase how CIBP members are leading the way.
Hello everyone. Today we have a very special guest with us, Rodrigo Tavares, which is adjunct professor at Nova School of Business and Economics. Hi, Rodrigo.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you so much for being here with us. The main theme today to discuss is the present and the future of ESG agenda. So being really straightforward to the point, today, what are the main factors that are driving and shaping the ESG agenda?
Well, ESG is not new. Every time we fall into that trap to believe that ESG just came along very, very recently, that is not a correct way of approaching things. ESG could be regarded as a topic, a concept, a practice that might be over 200 years old. Corporations have been incorporating some sort of sustainability or concerns about third parties for a very long time now. When we look at the ESG from an investment perspective, it is around 20 years old. So we have to think ahead, but we have to be aware of the past that brought us here. And I would say that the main factors, the main drivers for the ESG agenda are, number one, regulation, obviously, mainly here in Europe. Everyone is worried, in a sense, because regulation is booming and institutional investors, fund managers, corporations, they have to keep up with the growing, scaling up of the regulation. Number two, it's client demand, either from millennials and other types of clients. People are asking questions about ESG. Number three, it's no longer possible for a financial institution to thrive in an environment disassociated from the context where it functions from. And obviously, climate change poses a threat to financial systems, and institutional, cooperative banks, other types of financial institutions, they have to be aware of the environmental, social, and governance risks where they operate from. And then there's also the business case of sustainability, right? I'm not one of those experts, if I could call myself an expert on this topic, but I would not try to vindicate the idea that in all situations, there's a perfect correlation between companies or financial institutions. When they become more sustainable, their returns or their stock price is going to increase. This causation needs to be dissected in a careful and meticulous way. There are plenty of research, some of them from my colleagues at Nova. I've been involved with plenty of research trying to draw some sort of correlation between both, but it depends on geography, depends on the size of companies, depends on the type of companies, the revenue size, depends on different variables, and we need to factor them in before we make the bold claim that in all situations, the more sustainable companies are, the more profitable they will be. So these are the main factors that are driving the ESG agenda now.
You mentioned the topic of regulation, and for sure a lot of organizations struggle while implementing and trying to define their best strategy according with the ESG. Some of them know about different certifications such as B Corp or social enterprise that maybe that can have an overlap on how to define their sustainability strategy. How do you see these different certifications and the best way to define their ESG strategy for their organization?
Well, as we speak, in October 2022, there are more than 2,000 climate laws and policies worldwide, 65 of them in Europe, for example, around 40 of them in the United States. So legislation, regulation, norm setting, it's a very important part, the whole ESG agenda. And that is forcing from a top-down perspective corporations and financial institutions, number one, to report on the on their risk levels, on the sort and level of risk the operations are exposed to. And number two, they also, by law, at least here in Europe, they need to report what sort of impacts, positive or negative impacts, they are generating to the planet. So this is the current setting, of legislation. Once we have a large framework with a wide range of sub-chapters on regulation, each one of them devoted or covering specific geographies or specific cases, once we have this global legal architecture, then it should be about time to audit, to benchmark, to reference, to certificate. So that's another phase of the ESG world. First, we need to have some practices. Then we need to legislate. Number three, once we have this global framework, legal framework, then it's about time to certify them because we have something to compare them against, something to judge them against. And that level or that phase is about to start. For example, right now, if I am a fund manager, if I'm a cooperative bank, or if I am an asset manager, and if I'm managing assets from Kazakhstan or from Rwanda or from New York, São Paulo or Lisbon, and if I claim that I'm managing an ESG fund or even an impact fund, literally no one knows exactly what that means. There are some guidelines, there are some expectations, there are some best practices. There's plenty of reporting from international organizations trying to organize this field, but there is no criteria set in law by any regulator globally determining what an ESG or impact fund is, right? The only exception is Brazil. So Brazil announced in December last year their first set of criteria, prerequisites, from which, or springing from which, the fund managers will be able to say whether their funds are either sustainable, impact, or they are ESG. We have SFDR in Europe with Article 8 and Article 9, but they are disclosure-based principles. They are not criteria set in law. Anyone in Europe can claim that they have an Article 8 or Article 9. In Brazil, no. You need to, before you claim that you have an article, that you have a sustainable or an ESG fund, you need to abide to certain criteria. So going forward, we're going to start living in a world where everything is going to be audited. Every ESG or sustainable claim will be audited, from carbon footprint claims to clothing tags to ESG funds. Every single claim to cut down on greenwashing, every single claim, we're going to have either startups, regulators, auditing companies, certifying, validating, injecting credibility into this market.
As Rodrigo Tavares mentioned, Brazil is at the forefront of the regulatory trend. To understand what the biggest cooperative bank in Brazil, Sicoob, is doing, its president, Marco Almada, shared with us the strategic actions they are undertaking.
What's new in the 21st century regarding this matter is the trend towards regulation, how to carry out the ESG agenda, how to be accountable, which we understand to be positive. For us to carry out our social balance, and Sicoob has been carrying out a social balance since 2018, we must meet international requirements, and everything that is described there must be audited, and this is already something new. Because many of the actions we took used to be spontaneous, they had an effect, but they didn't have this process of being catalogued, measured, described, and audited. So this is what is new, and it generates a certain dilemma there. Here at Sicoob, we had to develop a technological solution that is part of our cooperative automation system, where the cooperative banks go in to describe the actions they take, so that what used to be done spontaneously can now be standardized, catalogued, and disseminated.
que pudesse ser divulgada.
When it comes to the French reality, Hélène Cambou, CSR responsible at Fédération Nationale des Banques Populaires, mentioned there are four major elements that accelerate sustainable development.
I would say that there are four major elements for the Banque Populaire to accelerate in sustainable development. The first element is everything that is regulatory. It should be noted that in France, by law, in the definition of a company, the company must consider environmental and social criteria in its management and in its activity. So that's all that is regulatory, and we are asked a lot of things, such as the declaration of extra financial performance, the carbon footprint, the disability policy. There are many things that make us a first driver. The second element, I would say acceleration engine, is the request of the customer and the member. It's all about image and reputation, clearly. Today, the reputation of a company makes the customer come or not. So, if you want customers, you have to comply with their demands too. Third element, I would say that is more. We will say the rest inside, as we are used to say. It is really to optimize our own operation as a bank to attract new talent. It is the employer brand. Clearly, we need to recruit today. And these people come only if we have also integrated this criteria. So that allows us to reduce our costs. Now, easy energy and controlling our risks are also clearly important. This is also an element that will accelerate the propensity to use the levers.
Et maîtriser nos risques aussi. Clairement, demain c'est un élément qui fait.
And actually, the last one, I would say that it is almost the most important, if respecting is a commitment in relation to the raison d'être. So, Banque Populaire, we have a reason for being since 2019. I don't know if everyone knows what is a reason for being. But it's a key sentence that summarizes all our axes, which is resolutely cooperative and innovative. Banque Populaire accompanies all those who live and work in each territory in a sustainable and close relationship. It is a bit long, but in any case, you should know that this reader of the raison d'être writes that it was written by all the regional popular banks, and it has axes of commitments, and its three axes of commitments, they are based on the fundamentals, which are the sealed criteria too. So, there are three pillars: territorial proximity, entrepreneurial culture, and cooperative and sustainable commitment. And each and every time we do something, an offer, a relationship with a customer, and each and every time we do something, an offer, a relationship with a customer, we must have or respect this reason of being and what we, as Banque Populaire, stand for.
It is more difficult than ever to address the evolving ESG expectations. Due to several global crises, like COVID or climate change, that hit all of us simultaneously, the demand for ESG policies and frameworks exploded, because it can provide a roadmap for organizations. The evolution of ESG agenda can be described as a second wave of simplicity and transparency.
So I know what ESG 1.0 is. If I am a company, if I need to report my sustainability practices, I don't have one single framework, I have over 30 different frameworks to report, to disclose my sustainability data. If I'm reporting financial data, there is only one framework in Europe, IFRS, but if I'm reporting my sustainability practices, my policies, my actions, there are over 30 different frameworks. In order to integrate ESG data into my investment decision making, could be banking, could be investment banking, could be asset management, could be private banking. Data is the bloodstream of ESG and sustainable investments. But currently, we have international organizations drawing lines, calling out, sending or rising yellow flags and calling the attention, drawing attention for the fact that most
ESG rating agencies. Their methodologies are not public, they are not transparent, they are poorly correlated, and the quality of that data needs to be checked out. That is still ESG 1.0. The tendency, the trend, is to have these more subjective, reactive way of looking at ESG, converting into a lucid, simple, coherent, standardized version of ESG. So then in the near future, hopefully we're gonna have a new wave of ESG, which is way simpler, probably will split apart what is impact and what is risk mitigation or risk management, ESG. And it will be guided, as I mentioned, by norms, rules, science, numbers, and everything should be made credible and valid.
ESG as a concept that encompasses environmental, social, and corporate governance into investment decision-making processes dialogues closely with the essence of cooperativism. That's why it's easy to find several initiatives from different realities across the globe. Tariq Nouri, head of Group Strategy and Sustainability at DZ Bank, suggests that cooperative banks in Germany must focus on environmental initiatives.
We would say we've got a really green okay on the G side, right? Because cooperative banking and governance work since forever very well, right? So that's not a big issue for us currently, and nobody would discuss that point with us. Where the banks really need to focus is the E, the environment topic. The social topic, because in Germany we've got more or less a regional background, so the cooperative banks are doing really a lot of social work within their regions. So there's also really a good green arrow going from there. But the E is really something which everybody needs to start building up currently, because I would say even in the cooperative banking sector, we haven't looked into it yet quite deeply. So we've got different kind of initiatives going on. We've got initiatives on the social side where we really go into the communities and help the communities. We've also got another initiative, which is a combination of E and S, where you can actually, within the cooperative banking sector, buy trees, right, and plant those trees. It's maybe not the biggest impact, but it's really a big impact on, it's not the biggest impact on CO2, right, but it's a really big impact on awareness and change. So we've already bought about 100,000 trees, in which we are planting now, because everybody just wanted to go into this initiative. And it's just, the importance is change management, right? So the change is starting. And we're thinking about a couple of other initiatives as well. Currently, what we're doing as DZ Bank is we're creating a tool where all cooperative banks are able to actually identify what kind of sustainable development goal targets they have in their credit portfolio, right? So transparency, that's a big thing which we're currently looking at. Within DZ Bank, we've got a really big program, which I'm the program manager of, with a couple of other colleagues. So this program is called Sustainability Program within the DZ Bank world. Our chair members are 5 out of 8 board members are within the chair of this sustainability program. And I would say about 80% of our divisions are involved in this program. So what we do is we actually take all topics surrounding impact and risk, also CO2 accounting, and we just discuss it with, I would say, about more or less 200 employees within the bank. And what we think is, and then now the change management side comes in as well, is if you have, so we've got 5,000 employees at DZ Bank AG. So if you start talking about with 200 people, they will become accelerators within the organization, right? So now we're doing a next step as well. We're preparing a communication story as well for the employees, So we see that the demand is very high, that they want to have more information. And I just want to understand what they can also influence as well as an employee. So that's what we're doing at TZ Bank currently.
From Belgium, Treasurer Front Office of Banque CPH, François-Xavier Carbonel, told us the different initiatives they are implementing in order to become carbon neutral.
We established last year in April 2021 the Green Asset Ratio Group. It's a internal working group, and it is composed of six members, five from different strategic departments of the bank, and the chairman of the executive committee, Alain Declercq. There are a lot of objectives or goals of this working group, and they can evolve, of course, over the time. One objective is to produce a term an SG-oriented reporting. It's the publication of the green asset ratio of the bank. It's the report between the green asset and the all asset of the bank. We apply a green ratio on investment invoice according to a defined internal method. We have also made a calculation of the carbon footprint of the CPH of last year, and we try to reduce our consumption to be carbon neutral.
Back to South American reality, particularly in Argentina, Eduardo Ciancio, the executive director of Banco Credicoop Foundation, detailed some of their impactful initiatives that are fostering the development of the local ecosystem.
In our case, the work we have done with municipalities, where many municipalities or local councils participated, to the reflection on what is territorial economic development, and where we worked on governance with local actors of each municipality and on the care of the environment. For example, very recently, and on the occasion of the implementation of labeling law for the food sector, we have participated by convening about 200 companies, where projects are already being presented to work on innovation programs for the improvement, sustainability, whether on additives, ingredients, and on the production of food packaging.
More and more, cooperative banks are integrating ESG metrics into their business portfolios. Alejandro Schachter, corporate business manager of Banco Credicoop, revealed some examples of what they are offering to Argentinian market.
There are distinct questions in which we know, from the one we seek, from our place to the one who comes with the finance, and with everything we must see with assistance from the no financier being able to participate. There are punctual lines, as Eduardo said, they keep coming with devolution lines. They say short lines that point to the average environment, to companies B, which are at preferential rates, within the limits of the rate levels that currently holds our country jointly. Our prices that compared against inflation are considerably less, and after the lines of inversion, which obviously are designated for projects of inversion. Based on this direction, it is decided the sustainability in general projects that allow or improve energy efficiency, the reduction of carbon emissions, distinct questions that contribute to everything that is happening in the fighting against climate change. At the bank, what we have is placing available lines of finance that can contribute to the development of this project in the medium where they are qualified for technical viability by part of these organisms.
Monica Togel, head of sustainability at Volksbank and Verbund, considers that in order to be better prepared to deliver an effective ESG and sustainability strategy, cooperative banks should have in mind three crucial points.
I think the most important thing is that the management is convinced. Yeah, we also learned it the last years, as long as the management is not really convinced that this is the future, that we can't go on without thinking about sustainability. The whole process and the whole implementation of ESG in our organization is not possible. So not only for banks, it's in general. So I think this is the first thing the management has to understand. This is important. We really need to go on, and we really need to put our emphasis on this theme. Data will be the key. Without data, we can't really make a good climate strategy. We can't really paint the way where to go if we don't know what the main initial point is. In generally, don't put all the emphasis on everything. So just start. Yeah, we also did it. We looked what is the main theme we have. With us, it was real estate. So our portfolio is mostly real estate. And so we just started with real estate. Yeah. Or like with customers, we started with, I don't know, customer X or things like this. So just start it. Try to make it step by step, not all at once. Give it a try. And yeah, just get it started and involve the customers in it.
Rodrigo, to conclude, with all your know-how and expertise, how ESG agenda will look like in the next 10, 20 years?
My hope is that the future of ESG is non-ESG. We stop talking about ESG. We will no longer have these sort of interviews or conversations. I would not be an ESG professor. We would not have ESG conferences. There would not be ESG papers. Why? Because ESG will be so embedded into the mainstream of financial decision making, of corporate decision making, that we'll stop talking about it. The future of sustainable finance, it's finance. Once we incorporate ESG in traditional finance practices, it becomes just finance. So our hope is that in the next 5, 10, 15 years, everything that we do now, asset management, private banking, investment banking, cooperative banking, all sort of financial deals that we execute right now, they would gain an additional layer. They would be totally ingrained in the financial systems. In a way, we're going to stop talking about it. It will be banalized. It will be simple. It will be mainstream.
Fantastic. Rodrigo, once again, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And this is how we come to the end of this sprint about ESG agenda. We hope this content has been useful for you. And I also want to address a special thank you to all the participants in this initiative. Take care. See you next time.